It's the Tiltcast episode 580. She's Plucky.
And this week, guys, we talk Helldivers 2.
Who's Plucky?
The Fallout TV series, Fallout 4 with mods, and Dark Souls. Stay tuned.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, timing on those cans are getting better.
Yeah.
It's the Tiltcast. We're back. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm hungover.
And of the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games and some news. Been a minute since we recorded.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute.
Get the not comedy out of the way, and then we'll get into the more fun shit. So it started off as us. I took down the site. Well, not technically. I left all the things attached that would keep Spotify open, but took away all the things that would let me upload episodes or edit it. I guess I had to retool our website and our bandwidth. We've been getting bandwidth warnings for the better part of 5 years. I actually got an email from an administrator of the person who hosts us and said, you need to upgrade. And with what you're hosting, it violates our terms of service because you're hosting audio files. I was like, well, it's original audio files. It's a podcast. It's like, that's fine, but you are well over your bandwidth. So I kind of went back and forth, and then I called this guy and talked to him.
He's like, said,
"That's right, you can't kill me, motherfuckers."
He's been waiting for that. That was random as fuck.
His finger's been hovering over it for the last 30 seconds.
Probably
it has.
And it has. Yeah. So we talked, and then he told me, he's like, "No, you need to use a different product." So I figured out the other product. The first product we had quote unquote unlimited bandwidth, but it wasn't meant for media files. And we were taking well advantage of that bandwidth. So anyways, I'm not going to get too much into the numbers, but like 150 times what they expect from that unlimited bandwidth thing.
Right.
And
he's expecting GeoCities site, and we're hosting podcast platform.
Correct. And it streams, you know, it streams off that website. So anyways, long story short, because like even Spotify, right? Spotify doesn't download our episode and then stream that episode. It's kind of a link. It's a real weird link, but it links to our server. Because Spotify doesn't pay for hosting, for all the content. I don't know if it's different for music. That's how it works with a podcast. You got a file that does all this back-end work for you. Anyways, so I redid it, and then me and Trent like played with the back-end to optimize some of the streaming part of it. And then got everything transferred. Of course, from a user standpoint, you don't notice anything. It just is what it is. It's just I couldn't do any kind of like editing to anything, or like I would fuck the whole thing up. So anyways, we got it done over a few days. It took about 5 days total to get everything migrated because we were both doing it after work. Then we got it migrated. So went from, you know, paying a measly $8.99 a month to paying about $60 a month. Pretty big change in price. Yeah, we do this for free, guys, so thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we did that, and we were getting ready to. I had things and stuff going on. I don't think we didn't record an episode that week because we just couldn't do anything with it. And I don't even remember the date of the last episode recorded, but I just released it today. But I want to say it was like mid March, and then my dad passed away, which that like fucked my whole life up for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not better, but I'm functional and we'll work on my sense of humor today. So, What that also means is I've distracted the fuck out of myself. Work was kind enough to let me off work for about, they give me 5 days for bereavement, which, you know, going into this.
Never enough.
No, I had to do a lot of the planning and stuff. So it, all of those 5 days, like the fifth day was the last service. We had here's the crazy thing. We had a memorial on a Sunday or a viewing on Sunday, which those fucking suck. And then a funeral, which I, you know, had to mess with a lot. And then I had a memorial service the following day from his old job. And so that was day five. And all the days in between was me figuring out obituaries and helping mom with finances and cleaning stuff in the house and stuff that reminded her too much of him, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, so like, sun up to sundown, basically, it was busy, and then I get home, and then I just didn't have any energy because everything mentally was weighing on me, and I'd sleep as much as possible and wake up and do all that shit again. So anyways, I was like, I need a few more days, so I just dipped into my vacation, and so I ended up being off almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And this week was the first week. It is, what is today's date?
The 21st.
Yeah. So that happened on the 2nd. It is the 21st, and we are just now recording an episode. So everything's been fucked for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not these guys weren't holding back. My head's not screwed on straight. Like, I canceled 5 different photo appointments I had. But, you know, I'm not going to get into the stuff that's, like, way too personal because this show's audience doesn't need to know anything about that. But me and my dad, you know, love my dad. He's a great guy. And gonna miss him.
Yep.
But that being said, dipped really in far into vinyl. Listened to some old proggy stuff that my dad used to listen to, and then started listening to my own proggy stuff. And I actually went to a concert this week. You guys have probably heard of, a lot of people that listen to us have probably heard of Metalocalypse.
Yeah.
So the band that is Death Clock, that is part of Metalocalypse, tours every so often. They hadn't toured in a while, and then they started touring again last year. And then they released Death Album 4. So I went to that, and I really like Death Clock. I'm not going to lie. When I first saw that show, I thought it was like just going to be a funny tribute to metal culture. And it is. It's a hyper-violent show that's a tribute to metal culture with a lot of references to old metal people. But the band is actually fucking solid as shit. Like, Brendan Small is one of the most multi-talented people on this planet. He makes cartoons, right? He did home movies, and he did Metalocalypse. And he writes full fucking albums for that shit. He writes everything, except for the drums. And the drummer he has is Gene Hoglund, which if you're deep into metal like I am, you'd know him from Strapping Young Lad. You remember him from Testament. He's been part of Death. The dude he's been part of Fear Factory. He's
been drumming for David Townsend for forever.
Or Devin Townsend, that's part of Strapping Young Lad. But I think he played on some of his normal albums. But yeah. But he's been with Death Clock since 2007, and I'm a huge fan of Gene Hoglund. I think he's one of the most solid heavy drummers out there. And so I went up to that. I bought tickets back in February. I was going to go with my brother. My brother's like crazy. So my brother got a hotel. It's only an hour and a half away. But he turned it into a little mini vacation to clear his head, because obviously he's in the same headspace I am. And I met him up there, but I saw part of the show with him, but I just wanted to hang out by the sound booth. I didn't want to, not really fully in people mode yet, but being in the middle of a crowd at the Criterion, which is probably about for Tulsa reference, it's the same size as the Brady. It's about 3,500 people capacity. It was packed full. Dragon Force played, which that is very video game relevant. I'm not a big Dragon Force fan, but they've got a song about Zelda and a song about Skyrim. And then if you play Guitar Hero, you've probably played through, what is it, Through the Fire and the Flames?
Through the Fire and Flames.
Yeah. Which, of course, yep. They end the set with that. And they had these two, like, huge arcades, like, cabinet props that they had on either side. And they would play different game footage back and forth. So for a little while, it was Mortal Kombat, then it was Skyrim, then it was Zelda. A bunch of classic stuff. They're really tight. I mean, if you can imagine. they're exceptionally tight. I'm not really big into those soaring high vocals, but it's enjoyable. And
it's very hair. So
it would be what people deep in the woods would call power metal.
Yep.
And if you like that kind of stuff, like, they're freaking king right now and have been for 15 years.
It is very power metal.
It's exactly what it is. But yeah, they're really fun. My brother met Herman Lee. So my brother, again, being nuts and getting up there at like 3:30 on a Wednesday, this family, like, his family likes a lot of the same stuff he does. They all walk to the venue because they're only like two blocks away. They're just kind of cruising around downtown, and Herman Lee of Dragon Force, the lead guitar player, was unloading, and my brother was talking to him. And my brother called me, and I was at work and in a meeting, so I was like, I just messaged him, and I was like, I can't talk right now, I'm leading a meeting. And then he texts me back about 25 minutes later. He's like, oh, I was standing right next to Herman Lee, and I was going to have him say hi to you. I was like, oh, well, that would have been weird in the middle of a meeting. Would have been kind of cool. I probably should have picked up the phone. But, Brennan Small, the way that Death Clock works live is they run – so he's made a lot of music videos for a lot of the songs they do. The way that the show progressed season to season is that I want to say like every two or three episodes there would be a song in the episode that had an accompanying video that went with it. And the songs aren't real long. Like, most of them are like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes total. And so they'd animate a whole video for the song. And so for the songs they were playing, they had those music videos behind it that they had already done for as part of the show. And they'll do like a little intermission towards the end of the show. Like, Brenda doesn't talk. Like, he's in character the entire time. When he introduces it as Nathan Explosion. But he's just a silhouette in front of a screen. You cannot see them at all. You just see their silhouette against the screen. And then towards the very end, like, he acts like he's all the different band members talking, right? And then you'll see his silhouette pantomiming across the screen, which is kind of fun. And at the very, very, very end, like, the lights go on him and the rest of the band. And, you know, they say thank you, etc. But they're incredibly tight live. I really wanted to see him anyway. And then I went back looking for vinyl, and when I went to their merch table, they had a signed vinyl, which I spent way too much money for, but I have Death Album 4 now that has Brendan Small and Gene Hoglund signatures on it.
Sweet.
So, that show was really good to get me in a good headspace. And then on top of that, I've been playing a little bit of Helldivers with Rusty, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit, and a fuckload of Dark Souls. What have you been up to, Jason? What have you been doing the last 3 weeks?
Well, for the most part, it's been a ton of family stuff. When I've not been doing a ton of family stuff, there was about a week there where I played a bunch of PGA Tour 23, because that's kind of my safe space, kind of like Dark Souls is for you.
Was that on Game Pass?
And no, I bought that. I bought that last year. That was one of the titles.
I don't know a lot of people that buy golf sports games.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised how much. Now, I don't know about nowadays. Obviously, 2K and EA have sold enough that EA went back to it after not doing one for 5 years.
It's such a weird niche market.
It is, but it's oddly relaxing.
I'm just thinking, like, how many gamers are golf fans? I bet, but they're probably golf fans aren't probably as old as they used to be.
I would wager to say the about the same amount of people who play out you know, who played tennis on the Wii. or
that whole Top Spin series of games that were right. on like the GameCube and shit.
It's
I mean, how many FIFA and NFL players are there?
So FIFA and NFL, those are like, okay, so you've got your mainstream basketball, football, soccer, you know, those are your mainstream games. These are covered worldwide, right? And then you've got the leisure sports is what, you know, what I would think of golf as, is a leisure sport. Like, most people go out there to, you know, just, you know, drink a beer, walk around a manicured golf course with the guys, and you know hit a ball, right? It's and then there's like this very small subset of, you know, of people who like really play that game and are like really good at it, and that's what those, you know, that's what the PGA golf things is like. That's the power fantasy for those people who suck at game. I think I like to think of it as
the only two times I ever played golf, I went with my friend who really liked golf, and I just got shit faced and like yeah. a single hole would take me like 40 hits.
Like, I'm a, you know, the closest I got to playing golf was a putt-putt, so I couldn't hit a golf ball to save my life.
See, I'm in the subset of I really enjoy golf, but I can't afford to play.
It really is, you know, kind of a...
The, what used to be, you know, like on the weekend or during the week, what used to be like $15 green fees for the undesirable evening tea times are now well over $30. So I can't afford to play, so this is how I play. But you would actually be surprised at how many people enjoy golf in that way. Just the golf world in general, there are over 100 million scratch golfers around the world. There's just only about 10 to 20,000 of them that are good enough to be on the PGA Tour or the European Tour, whatever that's called now. Because that's like the absolute peak. You gotta be better than scratch to actually compete up there.
Right.
But let's see, PGA Tour Road to the Masters.
I don't know, man. I've never played it. Never played golf.
But it's bigger than you think. I mean, this game has brought it. This game launched last year. Has brought in over $770 million for EA since it launched.
Okay.
That's in game purchases and
$770 million.
Yeah.
It's, well, I'm sure that there's if it's EA, there's probably microtransactions in there for fucking golf pants and shit like that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, see, yes. There it is.
Oh yeah.
Let's dress up your fucking golfer.
Have I spent any money on them? No. But it is. And for a lot of people, it's the fantasy of playing, playing golf courses that there's no way you as a person could ever get on and go play.
Well, I think it's about the same. It's the same mentality as like racing games. I guess racing games are another thing. Like I couldn't understand. I personally don't understand racing games, but that's. You know, there are people out there that have full-on fucking racing sim shit, right? That's the game that they like. You know, and to each their own, right? You know, but just, I can't fathom sitting there with a controller or a wheel or something like that and going around a track, you know, especially regulation races where you're going around a track fucking 100 times or some shit, you know? I think I'd fall asleep halfway through. There's a fundamental difference between being behind the actual wheel of a machine going at, you know, at that speed and being at a computer going at 0 miles an hour. you feel things behind the wheel. You don't feel things other than the need to press pause so you can go take a shit. I'm in a weird mood today too, guys. I might not have a filter, but I'll get into that here in a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. So let me rephrase that because I misread, so I misstated. EA PGA Tour made almost $780 million from 1999 to 2014 when they were originally doing it before they lost the original license. That's back when it was called Tiger Woods PGA. The current game has sold $2.5 million worth of gross revenue and sold 43,000 units. So, I mean, there is a strong market out there for it. It's just you guys don't play a whole lot of simulation games.
The simulation games that we would play would be different than that, I guess.
Well, by simulation, I mean like real life simulation games, right? So you're talking about the sports games, racing sims, flight simulator, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, there's a big market for it.
I'm more of a, you know, if it can be done in the real world, it's probably best done in the real world. I play video games so that I can get out of this universe.
I do too.
it's just that I need to get out of the realm of reality and do shit that, you know, that isn't feasible to be done in this reality. I need escape.
Yeah. Now that said, I have done some of that as well. Since we last recorded, and I mean, I think it'll be fairly safe to talk about this and not have to worry about spoiling much of anything for anybody at this point. Since Mario. We last recorded this Fallout series on Amazon released, they dropped it all at once like they usually do for first seasons of a brand new show.
Yep.
And let me tell you, it was good. I think all three of us can universally say it's probably right there with The Last of Us as far as best video game adaption in a TV series.
I think they did better than The Last of Us. I know that might be a hot take because Last of Us. So, you know, I don't normally argue about stuff on the internet, but there's a lot of the what's better. And I think what's easy about Fallout is Fallout is a universe. It is not a character.
Exactly.
Last of Us is two characters, and so there's a lot of opportunity to get those two characters misrepresented a little bit, and a lot of opportunity for them to focus on more of the character story. The thing I think they
messed up with a little bit with The Last of Us is it needed a lot more horror. They focused really hard on the characters, and they did a really good job of that. But the tension from the games is barely felt in the show. There are plenty of places in the game that are fucking swarming with the fungi people. I forget what they're called. The cordyceps, or I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah.
Cordyceps.
They definitely tried to focus the tension more on character-to-character tension. Like with the leader of the Selman in Kansas City, right?
Right, and
versus the tension of we need to get from point A to point B.
I forgot
without alerting the mycelial network, and that is they lost a lot of that. Right,
I can't remember towards the end of the series, did they have that whole restaurant burning down? Yeah, they did have that.
Yes.
Yeah, they did have that scene. They got the first episode is like stupid spot on. And towards the end, it's pretty spot on. But I'm not looking forward to season two because I don't like season two's story.
Shoot. I even liked when they did get to the camp where his brother is. I thought that was really strong. It was kind of the middle points. Yeah, especially around Kansas City, it just kind of felt. On one hand, I enjoyed seeing more of the story from a lot of side characters' points of view, but on the other, it felt like they almost took it a little too far that way.
It's a survival horror game. In
retrospect,
it's a story-based survival horror game, and there was a lot. Yeah. There was very little survival or horror. And I think that's what was missing. There's a lot of filler pushed in between.
There was a good bit of survival, but it was definitely light on the horror. Really light.
Yeah, when they did show the elements of it, it was really good. And then here, what they're doing is they're going to do season two. And if they just follow the story, of course, they're going to kill off Pedro Pascal, which everybody likes Pedro Pascal. And they'll probably get the exact same backlash they did with the game. Right? A lot of people were like, oh, you killed off the character I like. And replaced it with the antagonist because our good guy was, I guess, not a good guy. Okay. Well, fuck you.
We could hope they do the one thing that you and I hoped Naughty Dog would have done and just not kill off Joel.
They'd have to rewrite the whole story. Like, if they're going to do season two,
that's true.
They're just going to follow that stupid story. And that's two is fucked. I'm sorry. Like, the gameplay's great, but the story is fucked, and it pisses me off. It is not. It doesn't hold a candle to that. There's nobody to relate to. Again, I'm playing that game when I was raising a teenage girl related with Joel. You kill off Joel, you killed off the fucking game, and then he made him the bad guy? Fuck you. I could go on and on and on about that because it pissed me off so much. But backing on track, Fallout. The reason that Fallout's good is, so it's the latest installment in the series, right? So it's after other things have happened. It's 10 years after 4, right? Is that right, Jason? We were looking at the timeline the other day.
9 or 10, yeah.
So it's 10 years after 4. It's in a different area of the country. We haven't visited the California side of the U.S. in the Fallout universe since 1 and 2. And there's a lot of references to 1 and 2, right? Like Shady Sands being one of them.
And we've not heard about any of the California side of the factions since New Vegas because,
right,
you know, there was a lot of references back to it in New Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess
because of proximity. But
trying to keep it kind of spoiler free, right? There's a lot of reference to the NCR in this show. And I think they depict the Brotherhood of Steel appropriately. Like, the Brotherhood of Steel has always been assholes, right? I like how they approached the Brotherhood of Steel as basically just being, like, power-hungry titans, right? Like, and I think it's funny, too, like, you'll notice in the show that everybody's been basically programmed since birth. Like anybody that's a part of that faction has just been indoctrinated the entire time. And it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like when you're playing 3 and 4, they're a major faction. Well, I mean, they're a major faction in most of the games. But I like all the tie-in with Brotherhood of Steel and like why none of the factions are good guys. Like everybody's an asshole in Fallout. And that's the thing. In 4, probably the only decent faction's the Railroad, right? But the Railroad's also weird in that they're saving ghouls, right? And yeah. So, and no, not ghouls, synths. They're saving synths. Mm-hmm. And when the further you get in 4, you realize that most of the synths are assholes too.
well, yeah.
But they're kind of misguided, right? Like, I like the idea, right? It's kind of like the Underground Railroad, it's a reference to the Underground Railroad in the 1800s, right? And they're trying to move slaves from the south to the north. But it's synths. But anyways, long story short, the show does fantastic fan service without it being grating or cringy. It's brutal. The action is like hyper violent in the way that Fallout is. There's no cheesy like VATS moment, right?
I was so glad that they didn't do that.
They use all the music from all the games, right? A lot of Ink Spots, a lot of that other stuff. Some of the country from No Vegas. It's funny because my ringtones, you know, I don't want to set the world on fire, right? And so like it would show that every time. It's like, oh, am I getting a phone call? No, it's just, this is so accurate.
Well, the struggle through the Fallout was just like in a perfect place.
Yeah, they do a good job of like going back in time and talking about the atomic era. So like Fallout's in an alternate universe, right? It's a lot of tube technology, a lot of stuff that's based on atomic technology, but the computers never made it out of like the 80s. The cars are all powered by nuclear energy, right? Like all the gas stations sell coolant. And they kind of go back to those quote-unquote glory days. There's also a real big struggle with Russia versus the U.S. in the late 2000s, right? So, like, it's after now. Like, I think the show, when it's going back, it's like going back to, like, 2070-something, right? Because I think the bombs fall in, like, 2077 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, one of the main characters is one of the, like, it's just barely referenced in lore throughout the games, but, like, there was supposedly a battle around Anchorage with the U.S. versus the USSR, and it's with everybody's mechs, right, or mechs, power armor. So, like, there's a lot of references to some of that stuff. Then they do some flashbacks that kind of, like, flesh out some of the history and lore of what the vaults are about and what Vault Tech's about and why all these different corporations are doing crazy shit in the vaults. Like, that was something that's never explicitly, it's implied in the games, but never explicitly done. Again, Todd Howard sometimes fucks some stuff up, and he's incredibly narcissistic, but they did have him as a creative producer on the show. So having him as a consultant, I think, was a good play. Since people want the lore to match, there's some things that are kind of left up to interpretation, and I don't want to say it here because this isn't a spoiler cast on the Fallout TV show, but like literally the only thing that I was minorly upset with was the Pip-Boys being like, look like they're chrome. And aside from that, like, I really didn't have any issue with it. Like, I really liked the show.
I think that's – I don't know. There's a – I think there was a bit in the show that actually kind of explained why the Pip-Boys were a little different. It's one of those, you know, very missable details. But, yeah, they're like – they don't look like they, you know, that they've been handed down.
That's
know,
fair.
All too often, you know.
Yeah, it came at the perfect time, right? Like, I'd just gotten finished with the memorial service on Tuesday, and what it was like Wednesday evening it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like in the perfect mode of like, I need a low impact thing to just like focus on. And I binged all three of it, all the episodes in 3 days, right? That evening I watched like four episodes. I watched like two or three episodes the next day, and then the last two episodes on Friday last week. It was like just the perfect time, and I was already off work, so like it just fit in with my day perfectly. Just kick back, and like I'd even recently like finally hooked up. Like for people who don't know, like I kind of got a hi-fi stereo recently. It's a good mid-tier stereo. We're not talking about anything crazy, but it's a decent stereo system. So like in anticipation of this show, I ordered an optical cable from my TV to my receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound quality is fantastic, and it is definitely streaming in 4K. So it was quite the experience. I can't wait for season two, and God knows how long that's going to be.
That's going to be a while.
But it pretty much got renewed almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And it received,
was renewed before the first episode actually started.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact way they got the funding for that, but like it reviewed incredibly well. Like user reviews are extremely high, and then critical reviews are also extremely high. And it's not saying that's always everything, but like when the reviews match, like when user reviews and critical reviews match, usually it's a pretty good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that are on the fringes that are crying about the show, saying, you know, you missed this or this isn't quite right. But literally one of the creators of Fallout, Tim Kaine, who used to be in Black Isle, who helped with 1 and 2, literally was saying, like, I don't understand the fan hate. He's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is somebody who's an original creator of the franchise. Like, shut the fuck up. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. Well,
it was everything I wanted out of a Fallout TV series. I mean,
my expectations were kind of middling, right? I was like, they're going to change a lot. Or they're going to do something really hokey. But like, the thing I think that really sells it is like, you kind of have a different... You don't have one single main character, right? You've got your Vault Dweller. Like, if you've seen the pictures, right, you basically got a Brotherhood of Steel dude, you've got a Ghoul, and you've got a Vault Dweller, right? And those are your main characters. And their stories kind of intermix a lot. And the Vault Dweller is very much a fish out of water. And she starts off really trying hard to not... Well, that'll spoil a little bit. Anyway, she starts off really naive and then kind of grows into her character. I think, Jason, you'd say she's really plucky. I think that is
plucky.
That's a very good description.
She's extremely plucky.
Yeah. Well, there is a junk jet at some point in the show that I think everybody will appreciate. The junk jet is awesome.
Yes.
And Walter Goggins, like, is... fucking on point in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was like the perfect casting as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like everybody does a really good job in this show.
He did an extremely good job. I think the the thing that really makes him work is just the fact that he has done, you know, all those very different parts, like in Westerns. Shit, he was in The Shield, for God's sake.
He's been all over the place, but I mean, he's like, what, 50-something?
Yeah, he's in his 50s.
He's a fantastic actor, and he really sells his role. I mean, he does a damn good job.
I mean, yeah.
Does a damn good. He's such a badass in the show, too. But, I mean, all that coming around, right, like, I think the thing that makes it, and I don't know what publication to credit this to, because I read it somewhere, and it's like, it makes 100% sense. Maybe it was PC Gamer. But essentially, the point that we're making is, like, the best part of the show is the fact that they get lost in the side quests.
Yes.
Like, there is a main quest. There's a, you know, basically a main quest that drives you through the whole thing, but the side quests are what the other episodes are. Keeps weaving back to that main quest, but then they keep getting sidetracked on the side quests. And the side quests are awesome.
I mean, they even make a joke about it.
Yeah.
The second or third episode. Like, so, and I won't say the exact quote, because when you hear it, you're going to love it.
I have the quote right here.
You send it in Messenger. I don't remember what you're talking about.
I'll send it. Give me a sec. Yep, there we go. It's such a good quote.
It's such a good quote for so many reasons.
I don't know why you could. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's a gotcha moment.
It antithesizes everything about that universe.
And the situation at that point the quote was made.
Yes.
Like, son of a bitch. Here we go again. Anyway.
It is really good. All of us love it. And if the resident vault boy of the group loved it and doesn't have any major issues with it, you know you're doing okay.
Yeah, some of the ghoul mechanics are a little bit weird, but also that was never explained in the games either, so I think they're just trying to flesh out the world a little bit better, which I'm fine with.
I liked the addition. I thought it was very much in the spirit of everything we've seen through the game so far, without just completely disregarding any of it. So I thought it was really good. Made a lot of sense to me, anyway.
So Fallout aside, Rusty, what have you been up to for 3 weeks?
So... I'm sorry, just before you transition away. So I was going to say, because that came out, that got me in the mood for Fallout again, so I've modded the shit out of Fallout.
Oh, you used Wabbajack, right? Again.
I did.
And what is Wabbajack for people that don't know what the hell that is?
Wabbajack is an installer of mod packages. So basically what it does is it gives you the mods on a in a install list, and allows you to download and install them. If you have like Nexus Premium, you can basically do the installs at the click of one button. It will do the download and install altogether. I didn't do that because I'm a poor simpleton. So I had to click the download button manually for every mod it wanted to install.
How many is it again?
Well, I went with the Magnum Opus one. So it was like 762 individual mods.
God, Jesus. I just clicked a button.
Oh my god.
It's not even that expensive. It's, I think when it translates to dollars, it's like $7.
Wow.
And you get the unlimited bandwidth download from, Nexus.
So, Fallout's gonna get a refresh here, right?
Yeah. What's the date on that, Jason?
Rusty. Fallout 4 is getting a new update come the 25th.
Yeah, April 25th.
I don't, 76, I don't think is getting anything new anytime soon.
76 no. Got some items, not quests, but like some items that reference the show, and I think that's it.
Either way, it's enough of a refresh, and it's a next-gen texture upgrade. So it has put off the release of Fallout London.
I told you that was going to happen.
Fucking sucks.
I'm going to wait a little bit longer. I want to see what the difference is. I know there's some additional quote unquote fixes from a game that came out like what, 2015, like 9 years ago.
Yeah. But something like that.
Getting some updates, etc. I'm on a quest right now, which I'll talk about here in a minute. Then, Rusty, what have you been up to for 3 weeks?
What have I been up to for 3 weeks? Oh shit! Let's see. I have played a fuckload of Helldivers, obviously. That's a thing that I had a goal. When the new Warbond came out, I wanted to, just get that done. I wanted to have every weapon. I was already kind of working on, getting everything, bought with, that included medals. So I was just like, just grinding out that game just because it's, good, dumb fun. I can turn my brain off and, and shoot bugs and have a good old time. I completed the Warbond real quick. and I have all but one of the new ship upgrades. So basically, I've done progressed in that game.
You're a crazy person.
Yeah. I'm only level 80, which I guess is, a lot for most people. I've got
I'm level 41.
How many hours do I have in the game?
I've got a little over 100. No. I'm sure you got like 2 something.
I don't want to play it right now. 191 and a half hour. Which is, I would say good value for my dollars, because it was definitely worth picking up. I'll tell you that the eruptors, the eruptor, bolt action explosive rifle is not my favorite primary. It's got the same amount of power as a secondary. That's kind of crazy. I know some people are actually picking up the stalwart, secondary, machine gun and using that as their primary and using the eruptor sniper, bolt action, as their secondary, as the, for bigger targets. That's how powerful that fucker is. So it'll probably get nerfed soon. but it's a lot of good dumb fun. They've added a defense type mission, which is, kind of like a mission where you have multi-tiered wall base. So, as the mission goes on, the enemies get strong, start spawning stronger and the wall will fall and you have to retreat back to the second wall and defend that. And it just continues to get closer and closer towards the center of the map. And then you have to extract, but basically you're trying to hold the enemy at bay long enough to be able to, for the mission timer to, to go down, cause it's trying to download some, some files or some bullshit, right? Before you, before the base is overrun. So it's an interesting you know, mission type, but I know the developers are talking with the players, getting ideas of what would be cool, what kind of things, you know, are needed in the game to, you know, to make it even cooler. So there's, you know, player polls out there. The developers are listening. Like, they're taking suggestions from the players and implementing them and being like, this is a cool type of idea. Let's see if, you know, see what we can do to run with it, you know? It's, the game has surprised me in a lot of different ways. Just from a, you know, from a gameplay perspective, there really isn't a whole lot of like story behind it. But the community itself actually is creating the story, you know, and the developers are playing along. A lot of shit is, you know, is based off of the community. Malevolon Creek was, you know, was never meant to be part of the story for, you know, for the developers. It was just a planet, you know. The players made that, you know, a big thing. And it played so well into the narrative of, you know, of how the game is supposed to, you know, feel, that the developers just went with it. And it eventually turned into, like, you know, Malevolon Creek Day. There's Malevolon Creek veterans and like a cape that, you know, that was, you know, given to everybody. It's just like all of those things are, you know, are tied together. It was really, really cool. So I'm interested to see what they do, you know, going forward. I've gotten a little bit of a sneak peek at, some of the, newer weapons. That's in the next Warbond. I think somebody was, you know, somebody had gotten past the whole, you know, anti-cheat or something like that. But I was in a match with somebody that dropped with a new Walker, and I noticed that the Walker had two auto cannons instead of a machine gun and a rocket launcher. And I'm like, well, at first I thought somebody had dropped just a bunch of sentries, because it was just like constant fucking autocannon fire. But I looked over and I'm like, this is a yellow Walker. This is a yellow mech. That's interesting. So there's a couple sneak peeks that I got to see. I don't know how they did it, but you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely some people out there that are doing something to get the unreleased stuff.
It happens, you know, and it happens in every game, but you know, it's like
it's weird, it's when
interesting
it's
to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, in an online game it is weird.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't fucking cheat, because it ruins like any kind of surprise. I kind of like working towards something. I like the grind. So that's important for me. It's kind of part of the gameplay. So I'll just, you know, I'll just go on with that. But, Helldivers is definitely, you know, top notch fucking this year. Talked about it just about every podcast since it came out, so that's something. I played a little bit of Lightyear Frontier, but my headspace was not in the farming sim situation. So from what I've seen of it so far, it's actually kind of depressingly small.
Lightyear Frontier.
Yeah, Lightyear Frontier just seems,
I couldn't get into it.
So from my perspective, like Lightyear Frontier has a couple things, like the area in which you'd kind of drop into is tiny. in comparison to, say, like the world map for Satisfactory, for instance.
Or any other game like that.
Like, yeah, Satisfactory is just like that landmass is huge. Like, it's fucking massive. Whereas what I saw of Lightyear Frontier was not massive at all. So I'm going to let that one cook a little bit, because it is early access. I'm not going to be like, you know, I won't shit on it right now. It was not, it's definitely, it's a not you, it's me kind of thing. But from my perspective of it, when I, you know, first kind of dropped into the game, I was like, well, I expected it to be a much larger area instead of like kind of like a hub and spoke area, you know, and that's kind of what it felt like. Is it was very hub and spoke, like the middle of the map is green pasture and all the rest of the map is, you know, different places that you get to unlock for, you know, like more you know, advanced like metals or something like that, so that you can build more shit. I kind of wanted a little bit more from it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Satisfactory was actually really relatively small until they added extra biomes, and that game's been in fucking early access, you know, for a long, long time. It's coming out in 1.0, Satisfactory is. So as soon as that comes out on 1.0, I'm going to give it another try. That's a lot of math, though. I have to be in a math mood. I've got gamer moods, and I have to be in a math mood for that.
The math be mathin' in that game.
Huh?
So the math be mathin'.
Oh, the math be mathin' for sure. I mean, it's fun to figure out, like, you know, the most efficient way of doing shit. But man, does it take, like, even just the, you know, the most recent updates, it's increased the complexity of shit, where you have to have like water pumps, and the water pump pressure between pipes has to be just right for it to actually pump right. And the flow rate for water, just so that you can get, like, you know, coal power. Coal power used to be just insert coal, get power, right? Well, coal power requires steam, so you have to have water with it now. So it's insert coal, insert water, get power. And if you don't have the right flow rates for both, you don't get as, you know, efficient of power as, you know, as before. So it's a good kind of complex. You know, that is a team that's very, you know, that it's tuned that quite well. So looking forward to 1.0 on that. Let's see, what else have I fucking done? Oh yeah, I guess in life, I experienced what a diaper party is.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
I had to actually look it up. It's I'm pretty sure it's a it's not something that I've ever heard of before. But I am an old fogey, and I guess that's not unheard of for me. A diaper party is kind of like a diaper shower, only it's for guys. The whole the idea is that the guy in the relationship gets together with a bunch of other, you know, his buddies, right? And they bring, his buddies bring diapers for the new dad to be, right? So
to get him started. To get him started.
Just to get him started, yeah. And it's, you know, the idea is to kind of work out amongst the people going, you know, to get a range of different diaper sizes so that they've got at least a start for each size, going, as the kid grows up. So it's a good thing for, new dads, I guess. And it's an excuse to get the guys around, one last time. It's supposed to be like that one last time, type of thing from what I understand. It's like the going away of a good friend, but it'd be my brother. So I had to show up. Well, it being my brother, and the crazy family that I have up here, it always turns into a drinking contest. So it was, we had a, really, really good brisket, and pulled pork and like really good brisket. And it was so good. I had timed it just right. Food was being served right when I got there, and it was good barbecue. Had some Scotch Bonnet hot sauce on the table. It had some good flavor. I was super, it was so good. So good. Mm. And then, we had our northern get together. It starts out with, country party music on the radio, and everybody just, chilling out around, milling around outside. Then the old people go away. And it turns into, the middle-aged and the youngins still standing around. That's when the fireball starts to come out,
When you get
emotional damage
that's all fireball does.
Yeah, that's when the fireball comes out, because
I feel like fireball is the thing that like your 18-year-old little sister gets at a party and says, "I got drunk." And you're like, "What did you drink?" And they're like, "Oh, I drank Fireball." And it's like, it's I don't understand why you went for like cinnamon whiskey.
It's a weird thing up here. Like
I think it's awful.
The entire time I was in Oklahoma, not once was there like a Fireball Friday, or did you go to the fucking bar and be like, "I want Fireball," or anybody come up with, with a fucking 10 pack of fireball single shooters, right? Nobody, not once. I come up north here. Fireball Friday is a thing. And these 10 packs of the single fucking shooter bottles are sold. You can buy fucking buckets of Fireball. Shooters.
That sounds like disgusting.
Full on fucking buckets of them. It's like, okay, this is a thing up here. It's very regional, I guess, because I never saw it down south. So that's why you just don't understand. Like, Fireball is a completely different thing up here for some reason. Anywho, Fireball came out. we ended up having like a shot or two of Fireball, and it's like, okay, and I know this is at like 2 o'clock, so it's like, okay, gotta pace, because there's no way you're gonna get to sundown at this point if you start this early, especially on Fireball. So I was like, all right, we're all pacing, and doing stuff. The older people start to leave, right? Even the older middle agers and stuff, right? So I was like, okay, cool. It cuts down to about 10 people.
Aren't you middle aged?
My brother comes up to me and says, "Hey, did you bring your firearms?" And I'm like, "Of course I did, because why wouldn't I?" Right. So we go out and we pop off about like 300 rounds off the back, back porch, just like you would think. We just, posted up, had a, had all of the guns out on the, on the deck. People will just like load a magazine, go out, go up to the edge of the porch and fire off at a target that we've got, you know, about 100 yards out.
Like any good self-respecting redneck.
Yep. We were, yep. You definitely could hear the, you know, hear that, you know, going off for a while. By that point, my parents were there and, you know, and they just stayed inside. And I was like, okay, well, if one of them comes in bleeding, we'll be worried, you know, worried, but nobody was bleeding. But I got to, you know, had to fire off my new pistol, and show it off to my brothers, and, you know, I got to clean it today. But still, anyway, that was fun. And then it got too cold, so we packed everything back up and got to fireballing some more. So basically, it was a lot of partying happened yesterday. I remember at a certain point, my younger brother, had challenged my dad to arm wrestling, like drunken arm wrestling, because, you know, we were pretty sauced at that point. And my dad won.
old man strength
for sure. So he, you know, he won, slammed the table, went outside, to do the restroom thing, and never came back. And I'm like, where the fuck did he go? So me and my mom, you know, go out there, try to find him,
make sure a bear didn't get him.
Right. Well, he had driven himself home.
Oh, that's no good.
And he said, I won, I'm out. Fucking left. Which was, yeah, so that was, I was like, okay, all right, that should never have happened. So she went to go make sure he was all right. And I stayed there till about midnight with my brothers, until my brothers are like, I'm done. And I'm like, so am I. I'm leaving. I say this every time. I'm never gonna drink again. But yeah, Fireball is, we don't need Fireball. Nothing good comes from Fireball at all.
Yeah, I think it's just disgusting.
Bobby Boucher, Fireball is the devil.
It is. It is very much the devil. So I've got the worst Fireball hangover. It's been a day, man. I woke up, I thought I was fine, and then I was not fine. And these guys here wanted to podcast, and the only reason why we started this late in the day is because of me. So I apologize. I'm still not quite over it. If you can kind of tell from my voice, it's not the best.
Yeah, but you're doing all right.
I'm doing all right, but and definitely could be doing better. But yeah, that's kind of been my thing. Oh, my brother did actually come out with a really good haul of diapers, though. He definitely had plenty of diapers. Like
hundreds.
Hopefully they're all a different size range.
Well, we did a pretty good job. I went to Sam's, so I was like,
it's pretty amazing how quickly a kid can go from like size one diapers to size two to size three, like before you even run through a box of diapers sometimes.
So I'm clueless when it comes to diaper sizes. So I asked my mom, Just, I stood in Sam's Club. I took a picture of the of all of the different sizes, and I just said, "Mom, what do I do?" And she's like, "Pick size 4." Kids tend to stay at size 4 for a long time. And I'm like, I was going to ask how you knew this, but you know, so I'm just going to go ahead, pick size 4. It's a good thing I picked size 4, because most people are just picking up the newborn sizes. So, so my brother will be, will be set for a little bit, I think. But
yeah, that's probably the biggest thing is new parents. They need fucking bigger sizes than just newborn.
Yeah, well, this is also kind of a special, special baby. This is the first girl on the, in the family in 2 generations. So,
probably a big deal.
It's a really big deal. So, we wanted to make sure he was well and truly set. So it's my baby brother too. That's the dad. So everybody was looking at me like, "When you gonna have a kid?" And I'm like, "Ideally, never."
Right.
So. Yeah, that's just me.
Rusty said, "I'm never getting married.
I'm
never having a kid."
It's not that I might get married, but I'm gonna be a dog dad. Yeah, that's just the way that's gonna be. I'm gonna have like, 3 pitties. I think that's about the right number of pitties.
One's a lot.
And one's a lot for sure, but three, I guess, would be about the same energy as one human child. So we'll just go with that. But yeah, that's the plan.
Good luck.
I'm really
with that.
Looking for a different game, and I'm looking for another game to play. Like I'm kind of chomping at the bit for something new. And I'm also kinda sorta going to be upgrading my machine soon. Hopefully. Cause I downloaded a benchmark for Final Fantasy 14 for the new expansion. They do a benchmark every year, and like they basically turn everything up to maximum and, get people to, to run the benchmark. Of course, you could probably run the game, you can still run the game with a potato, but they are doing a graphics upgrade for Final Fantasy 14 on the next expansion, which is sorely needed, right? It needed to be done.
I just think it's funny that people need a benchmark for MMO.
Well,
I guess half the people, it's for all the potato users.
It's more of this.
All the mono gamers.
It is for the mono gamers, just to be sure that they're going to be okay with, playing the game. But with Square Enix, they also included, different shit in there, like DLSS and different, different graphic settings that's not generally in Final Fantasy 14. So they did clean it up quite a bit, so that you can, you can run it against other if you're playing other games, you can kind of, tell whether or not you're going to be, having a decent time. It runs just like a normal benchmark, right? So I ran it. It gives you an arbitrary number, right, at the end, and be like, very high or something like that is the, you can run it at, high settings or whatever, And my score was like 13,000 or some shit. And then I looked up, people's scores on Reddit, because that's, the repository for, internet information. And people were posting scores of like 30 or 40,000. And I'm like, the fuck's the difference between my machine and their machines? And one difference was they're running a 4090 and I'm running a 3090, which is still overkill for that fucking game, right? To be clear. But the biggest difference between my machines and their benchmarks was the processor. I'm running the 9900KF. And they're running 13th gen or 14th gen processors. And I realized that, I'm probably, I'm planning on getting the 5000 series card when it comes out this fall, right? Because I leapfrog. So 3000, I bought that. I didn't buy 4000 series. That's why I don't have a 4090 in my machine. And I'm going to pick up the 5090 or whatever the fuck it's called. So I need to have a machine that's going to not be bottlenecked. And it is. And right now I can tell you that my CPU is really close to bottlenecked with my GPU, my 3090. If not, I'm CPU bottlenecked already. So I'm looking at, picking up a 14th gen processor for, 14900KF and DDR5 RAM and fucking new board and get it all set up. But I'm going to do this one without RGB because fuck RGB right now. I look over there when, see the RGB turn on and then I never look at it again. So my next build's going to be a blackout build. But yeah, I'm looking at building a new machine real soon. So to pay for that, I am doing,
you're setting up a Wi-Fi network out in the middle of the woods.
Yes. I'm setting up a Wi-Fi network in the middle of the fucking woods, to pay for it. which is hilarious. I was asked by a campground manager to build the, build out a mesh Wi-Fi network in a campground. I'm in the middle of doing that project. But that'll pay for about half of my build, so that's worth it to me. The other half I'll probably have free Amazon bucks for, maybe. I don't know. Depends on the rewards I get for the parts. So it'll be a nice little thing, but boy is that a challenge. You never thought I'd be Wi-Fi in the woods. But here I am, Wi-Fi in the woods. I guess even squirrels need porn.
I guess so.
But yeah, I mean, what, is there any fucking new games coming out anytime soon outside of, like...
We can look at it here when we hit news. The, me needing some comfort food gaming, right? I've played Helldivers a handful of times with you since... all these things have happened. And I like Helldivers, don't get me wrong. I have a goal, though, so Shadow of the Erdtree comes out in June. I can't remember the date. But I'd started playing a little bit of Elden Ring initially, and I just, my headspace was wrong. So I was like, man, I'm gonna put this off for a second. And I got like maybe 4 hours in. Nothing wrong with Elden Ring. I love that game. But I was like, I've played it too soon. I need to remember what the other games were like. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that at some point somebody gifted me the remastered edition of Dark Souls. So there's Dark Souls Remastered that came out, right?
Because I'd thought about it. I was like, if I play 2011's Dark Souls, I'm going to need to mod it so that it even looks decent on a 4K screen because it's, you know, it's like 720p. It's Xbox 360 era game.
I didn't know if you could play it on PC, at, you know, because of it was the... Oh, they did give out the free different, you know, the upgrade because it was a Games for Live game originally. Remember?
I think so. Yeah, I had the original on PC. I played it on Xbox and I played it on PC, but I never had played the remastered version.
Yeah, it was a 360 era fucking Games for Live game where it had its own fucking pop-up bar and the, you know, and everything. And when they killed that service off, they ended up, you know, giving out a free edition that was not the Games for Live. I think it was the remaster, but it might have been right around the time the remaster came out.
Yeah, the remaster came out in 2018. So it definitely looks better. Like, so the 4K, it's 4K, like, they've up-res some of the textures, but, like, some of the things still look old, but it all looks really crisp. So it was very, very playable, and it runs at 120 FPS. So, like, Dark Souls, because the physics is locked in certain FPSs, right? So on 360, it was locked at 30, and would dip lower than that in an area called Blighttown because there's so many fog effects in there, and it just ran like shit. And I beat it on 360, and then I played it on PC, and my PC was able to handle that. But, you know, back then, I think on PC, I was running it like, what was the name of that card I had? I had a Titan, NVIDIA.
Titan Black.
Titan Black. And I needed a Titan Black to run that. At a proper frame rate, and I think it was like at 45 FPS or something crazy. But yeah, so like, I ended up playing that. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. So yeah, what I ended up doing is I ended up playing that and it's like 8 gigs or something. It's like tiny. And I was like, I'm just going to give it a shot and see if I remember how to do this. And so I played through, a pretty significant portion of it. And then I was like, I want to watch somebody likes progression path. And so there's a streamer that I've been watching forever because of Dark Souls, actually Dark Souls 2, Fighting Cowboy. He's been doing Dark Souls videos since 1, and he had a series he did on remastered. And what he'll do is he'll play for about 20 minutes. The thing is he one shots like everything. So it's good to like he hits all the secrets. Now I've noticed, so I'm following his series for 2. I'll back up in a second. But typically speaking, he has notes for all the items are at, and he just like blitzes through the game, right? Getting everything, gives you a build to go off of if you want to follow his build, and then just goes through everything. You just kind of watch him play, and he fucks up too, right? It's like it's Dark Souls. But kind of show you like the path he takes through the game, right? Which, you know, just because you're watching him play doesn't mean that you're just going to beat it too. You still have to have similar skill. But it's nice to like pick up all the right shit, right? Or he'll be like, oh, don't use this item yet because you'll need it here later. It's like, oh, that's great, right? Speaking of which, there's these things in 2 called Pharaoh Stones. And that game trolls hard. They unlock secret areas in the game. And you'll see notes from players saying, don't use it here. And it's this little face, you put it in the mouth, and it's this little face. And on certain ones, it looks like it's crying, right? And you'll see people like, wasted item here, don't put sadness ahead, right? And it looks like this, like stone's crying. But what the deal is it fills up a basin with water, and if you coat yourself in water, you have fire resistance and poison resistance. So anyways, long story short, like he'll tell you like kind of when you want to use items or when you want to hold off on items, etc. And it's kind of nice, right? So I would watch him play on the side while I would farm or play the game. And I ended up beating Dark Souls 1 in about 40 hours. I one-shot all the bosses except for one DLC boss called Clemet, I think is his name. Anyway, it's the dragon in the DLC area. That dragon's pretty hard and requires a mixture of patience and aggression. Like, you got to be really aggressive at the right moment. I was trying to cut off his tail for a weapon. Like, the thing with Dark Souls 1 is if the character has a tail, you can cut it off and it gets a little weapon. And I went with a pyromancy slash strength build, which was not the same build he was going with. That dude went straight strength. And I wanted it. I wanted pyromancy, so I had to grind a little bit more so that I could get more attunement slots so I can have more spells. And I like all the fire spells. They're fun. So that was my goal with one, is do a pyromancy strength build, get a bunch of big weapons, and like two-hand my way through the game, which is basically what I did. And shields are fucking OP as shit in one. Like, there's a lot of like 100% block shields. You still have to have the stamina to match, otherwise it just knocks you off balance. But for anybody that's played it, I was in almost full Havel gear, and I can't remember what the headpiece is. There's a certain headpiece you get that gives you bonus damage for spells, which includes pyromancy, and so I'd wear that headpiece with full Havel gear. And see, I had a Black Knight longsword's what I used initially, and then I finished the game. I was using a Black Knight battle axe. I can't remember if it's great axe or battle axe, but anyways, that's basically what it is. No soul weapons were used. I ate all my soul weapons, or all the souls for the soul weapons. But I just chewed through that game like so fucking hard. Everything could be backstabbed or parried in that game really easy. And I wasn't good at that. In fact, I posted on our little special secret message group. I was like, I just beat Ornstein and Smaug on my first playthrough. On my first try. And initially, so like there's two ways you can fight. It's Fat Man and Slim is what a lot of people used to call it. Because there's a skinny guy that's got a lightning spear and a big fat guy with a big hammer. And the easier way to do it is to kill the fat man with a big hammer, and then the skinny guy just gets bigger and still chucks lightning spear at you and uses his spear, and it's really easy to dodge. I say that, like, it is easy to dodge at the right moment. But I wanted the big fat hammer. I just didn't know the hammer wasn't as good as my great axe, nor did it have as good of a moveset. But anyways, I wanted the hammer, which means you have to kill the fat man last. So you can get Leo's ring, which helps the thrust weapons, which I was using none of, or you can get the big hammer. And so he turns into a big fat dude with a lightning hammer and lightning abilities if you do that. And I fucking beat the ever-living piss out of him. And it felt really good because originally when I played that game on 360, that fight took me a month. It was one of the first games we really talked about on this show. And I almost quit Dark Souls over that fight back in 2011, so 13 years ago. I just couldn't do it.
Nuts.
I'd play it 2 hours a night, trying that fight, and just couldn't beat it, and I almost gave up. And then just one night, I just got really lucky. Now, granted, I used to drink a lot back then, so I was probably drunk as shit while I was playing it. But I do not drink nearly as much as I used to. I was not drunk at all. But yeah, I went into that and obliterated that fight. Gwendolyn, the very last boss encounter for the whole game, I paired the piss out of him and like just ended him in... It was the last fight took me 30 seconds tops. Beat the piss out of the last boss. And granted, I was probably over level, but I don't fucking care. That's what part of what that game is. It's like, if you're having a hard time, over level. Well, I was over leveling because I wanted lots of fire spells. And then there comes two. So I beat that last week. Or was it last week? I think it was last week. And I started Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin. No, I beat it like Tuesday. I've got about 20 hours in Dark Souls 2. Again, it's kind of like a remake, right? Like, they had Dark Souls 2 that was on the original consoles, and then it went to PS4, PS5, and 2018. They did a reissue of the game. They redid all the textures. They redid enemy placement. They redid some of the spell mechanics. They redid some of the mini-boss encounters, and they redid a lot of the summons. Like, it's kind of like a real remastering of the game. It's almost like a tribute to Dark Souls 2. but I mean, you know, same boss encounters, etc., but like a lot of things are changed in that. And I haven't played it in a really long time, and I don't remember anything about it. The thing about Dark Souls 2, though, it's a pretty divisive Dark Souls game. Oh, I should go back to this. I'm gonna beat all of these before I get to Shadow of the Erdtree. And if something cool comes out in between, I'm gonna play it. But I'm gonna beat all of these. And so there's a lot of things that are divisive about Dark Souls 2. It's a fucking hard game. I have not one-shot hardly anything in this game. And it's not really the bosses that gave me a lot of trouble. It's Dark Souls 2 is filled with a lot of bullshit. Let me explain the bullshit. If you're new to Souls, don't start with 2. Like it's a good game, but it's... Here's why 1 is better. 1 is 1 is better in that you can go in offline mode if you won't want to be invaded. 1 is better in that if you are hollow, you don't get invaded. You don't get as much of your health reduced either when you're hollow in 1. The benefit of being human is you can do the soul summons. Where Elden Ring kind of took that idea is you don't have to be human to get the summons. You just have your summoning, your spirits that you can summon at a lot of different points in the game. 2 does that a lot more than 1. So 1, you kind of have to find NPCs and then they become summons at different bosses, right? And they're not really necessary, but they're fun, right? Honestly, with the summon, most of the fights have a summon. Not all of them do, but most of them do. The summons do make the fights pretty easy, honestly. And I wasn't even a caster. I was just fucking sword mordant two-handed. I decided I was going to be a caster slash dex character. So, like, I'm having to really spread my points out. Which I don't, that might have been a mistake. But I'm working with it. But Dark Souls 2, let's talk about PvP. So, first of all, it is pretty difficult not to, to play offline in Dark Souls 2. You have to turn your Steam account on offline mode in order to do so. I didn't know that until I just kind of was getting pissed off. So apparently there's this big PvP event going on right now with DS2, where a lot of people that follow, because I was just looking and I was like, why is there so much PvP in this game that's like, hasn't been, this came out in like 2016, right? Why is there so much PvP right now? Well, there's an event going on that's being sponsored, I say sponsored, being pushed by a lot of different PvP streamers. So there's people that just PvP in Dark Souls 2. And so, like, there's a whole community of people that PvP in it that are just out in force right now. And so there's a lot of invaders I've had to deal with. I've beat some of them. I have not beat some of them. The thing about Dark Souls 2 is the level is just based on your soul level. Well, let me explain soul level. Soul level is just a counter, because I had to look this shit up. I was like, again, figuring out why I'm being invaded so much. It's just a count of all the souls accumulated, not spent, accumulated. So there are several times where I've went on runs where I've lost all my souls. So that's just raising my level cap for who can invade me, right? So I'm getting some people that are really fucking tough that are invading me because I have fucked up pretty hard in a few places. And so when I get mass invaded, I've been turning myself offline like a coward because these are people that play for the PvP and I'm playing very PvE right now. So I don't have to fucking deal with it. But yeah, there was one spot I got invaded by the same guy every time I died. He would reinvade me over and over and over again. And he was definitely like had a full Hide Knight set and had the Hide Knight move set, which is hard as fuck to parry. And I'm not a melee build. I have got a very PvE build. And I was having a really tough time parrying him. He figured out I was having a hard time parrying him. Like, tried to poison this fucker. Like, he was a better player than me. It's obvious this guy PvP's a lot. And at a certain point, I just started rolling off a cliff because I was sick of fucking dying. But they can invade you anywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at. Like, they're in your vicinity. Like, I don't remember how the multiplayer works, but, like, I was just getting invaded over and over and over and over and over again.
Isn't 2 the one that has, like, you know, areas that are, like, higher, you know, like, they can invade you anywhere, but there's places that are, like, better, like, PvP arena style fucking...
All of the games areas. Have, like, an arena area that you can go PvP in, but you can be in PvP, like, right outside of boss door in this game. Ugh. So, like, I was literally trying to run for the gargoyles. Now, granted, that's in a PvP area, so, like, I expected it. That took a lot of doing. I probably spent 2 hours getting through that tower to try not to get invaded, dying a lot, to go ring the fucking bell, and then come down to beat the gargoyles, and thankfully you get a NPC summon, right? So I do the NPC summon to also kind of keep that person occupied a little bit, kill all the little guys, and then try to fight the guy to try to get in there and not have used most of my Estus Flask before it got in. But yeah, like there, I was like, I wonder if I can just run to the door and get in. It'd still like interrupt your animation of getting in the door. So like, as soon as I'd start doing that, he'd throw a throwing knife at me and like delay my animation and come up and like clobber the fuck out of me. I was like, this is such bullshit. So I finally worked my way through that. And then there was a time, this is going to sound stupid. Last night, again, I'm only about a little under 20 hours in. There's the chariot fight. The chariot fight's pretty fucking cool, but it's also on an area full of bullshit. So the chariot is in the Huntsman Co., and you walk your way through this little area, go up a bridge, and there's all these guys that jump down that, like, clobber the piss out of you. And it's kind of randomized on, like, if you get them one by one or if you get a group of guys that take three hits apiece, they can also, like, two-shot you because my caster doesn't have a lot of HP. So, like, I was kind of dodging, weaving, and trying to get through this area, not killing all of them. One thing, again, that's different about Dark Souls 2 is, like, also they fuck with your farming method. So if an enemy dies 12 times, they just despawn forever. So at a certain point, after having a lot of trouble with these guys, they eventually disappeared because I'd killed them so many times. And I forgot about that in this game because I looked it up. It's like, why are things not in the same spawn again? It's because I've killed them 12 times. So eventually I killed these guys 12 times, and I had a blank run all the way up to the boss because I just kept dying. I kept trying to shortcut my way back to it, kept trying to do death runs. Apparently the follow distance on everybody in this game is like halfway across the damn map. So I'd get to the boss door and have like 12 guys beating on my ass before I got in and staggering me before I can get in the boss door. And that fight's kind of bullshit too, because you have these guys that are necromancers. So if you remember, and you guys may not, there was a fight where there's a skeleton on a chariot that's going around in a big circle. And as he goes around, he knocks these skeletons down and he kind of kills them, but they're undead. And there's these two necromancers in the area in these little alcoves, and they're raising up the skeletons after they die. And you have to kind of run and kill skeletons and then either roll through the side of the chariot through the little blade on the wheels, or you have to get an alcove. I died on my way to the necromancers probably 10 times.
Ugh.
And it's a long run, like short by souls. It's for me with all the combat, if I do the combat instead of running, and that was my mistake. If I'd have just done that, everybody would despawn by the time I finally got there. Then it's like 3 minutes, but with all the combat, it's like a 5 or 6 minute run just to get back to the boss door to get through the fight and hopefully haven't spent all your Estus. But anyways, yeah, like I was like just getting the piss beat out of me. And then at a certain point last night, I was like, fuck this game. I turned it off and started watching a bunch of updates on different things that we'll talk about in news. But I just went back to it and just out of the blue, like the frustration had left. And, like, I just smoothly sailed through into that room, and then I didn't cheese him. Like, there's a way to cheese him where he goes around in a big circle and you can cast a spell or an arrow and shoot the skeleton dude in the face as he passes. I decided I was just going to shut the gate and let the horse pop up. I was like, I can dodge all this shit. And I did, and just beat him. Like, as soon as I actually finally got into an encounter with him, like, just fucking one-shot it and kept going. So, Cowboy's good for walkthrough videos. This was definitely one of his early walkthrough videos because it's almost 10 years ago. He doesn't have notes on anything. He's just played the game a lot. He's just kind of showing people where stuff's at, and he's dying all the fucking time, which is great because it doesn't make you feel as shitty about your run. But Dark Souls 2 has like lots and lots and lots of trash mobs, and the trash mobs are fucking hard. Like the trash mobs, honestly, are harder than the bosses, and they put big groups of them together. There's all sorts of traps and hazards that are like total horseshit. Like Earthen Peak, which is where I'm about to end now. No, I just ended. I'm over in, whatever the fire area is after that. It's just full of poison. Like the whole area is poison. Like there's these little tunnels that have a whole bunch of like upgrade materials, and it's all in fucking unseeable poison. You can't even see in front of you. Like I just followed the blood stains from all the people. And again, it's nice to have online to see that kind of stuff so you can see where people died. If I get, like, mass invaded again, like, I'll probably go offline so I can finish the game and not deal with PvP the whole time. But, so far, after I got past that moment last night, like, I'm back to having fun again. Like, trying out hybrid builds. Like, it does a better job with having weapons on your left and right hand than one does for sure. And there's a lot better build variety, right? Like, you can build hybrid builds. Like I said, I'm doing a caster dex build, which is kind of weird. I'm using a lot of hexes and Ricard's rapier, which is weird. And a spear.
That's the dex version of it.
Yeah. So, like, I'm super stabby, but also, like, hit like a fucking Mack truck. But for the hex stuff, you have to have at least 20 faith. So I had to build my faith up from 4 to 20. Then I've got, like, 30 dex and 30 intellect right now. And
damn,
a mustard seed size of health or of vitality. Like, my endurance is, like, 30. My vitality is, like, 12. Because I just don't see the point. Like, I just, it's like, I know if I get caught, like, I'm fucking dead. I just have to get these fucking ninja rolls off. So my dump stat is vitality until, which is the exact opposite. I always play souls. So at some point, I'll raise my vitality up because, holy shit, it's small. But, yeah, I intend to, this is a much longer game. I want to say Dark Souls 2 took is roughly twice the size of 1. So I think it'll be about a week or so more of me playing before I beat that game. Then I'll move on to 3, and 3 is great, but I can't remember hardly anything about it. And I think that's the best thing. Like, I'm replaying a game I barely remember. Well, there's moments I'm like, oh yeah, that's what's up with this fight or whatever, you know. But I never played it as a caster. I always played it sword and board is exactly like I played 1. I'm trying to avoid that.
I'm kind of at that point with Elden Ring, I think. Because I don't remember very much of Elden Ring, no. So, I mean, Shadow of the Erdtree, I'm going to pick it up. But, you know, I said that next time I play Elden Ring, I'm going to play something other than a caster.
Yeah, you should try the dex builds out. You can get the Washing Pole, which is a really cool looking sword. And get a really good bleed build. That's kind of what I'm going for. If you're going to start out a dex build, just start out as the samurai. Because you start out with 1 Uchikatana.
Right.
And then you get the other Uchikatanas in Limgrave. In one of the graves. I can't remember which grave, but it's a grave that's kind of like in the northeastern area. Maybe it's called Tomb of the Grave Lord, maybe. I think. But anyways, it's just sitting there. And then you have 2 swords. So, you know, the best defense is an offense in that case. I keep a shield like posted, but you do so much damage, it like adds a different combo when you use your left bumper first. So it's like a 3-hit wambo camp combo kind of thing where you're like your left hand hits, then your right hand hits, and then your left hand hits again, and then you trigger bleed. So it's kind of nice. Like, you're not blocking shit. Like, you can flip back and forth between that and a shield, but like, you just go up against enemies and like blitz them and then roll away. And then blitz them and roll away. It's really fun.
Yeah, I think I got better with the rolls. I barely used the shield when I was when I played it last time.
Oh, that's another thing about two. So your rolls are determined by adaptability and your weight. So in 2, you have to raise the adaptability stat. So like at 5 adaptability where you start, you've got like 0.12 seconds of invulnerability, like almost none. And when you raise adaptability to 10, you've got 0.3 seconds or 0.33 seconds of invulnerability on your roll. So it like changes your eye fringe from like 11 to 20 or something like that, right?
Oh, well, damn.
So that's another like stat you have to dump into. Otherwise, like, you just get hit all the fucking time. Like, again, 2's got some bullshit in it.
Right.
And surprisingly doesn't look as good as the remaster, but it still looks decent in 4K.
Hmm.
It's very playable in 2024. I'd say if you're on PC, I don't know what it looks like on console.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. I wouldn't know where to find it on console.
Probably on PS4.
Yeah, so I'd just play it on PC anyway.
But yeah,
I've got my my PlayStation, but man, I have not touched that fucker in a long time.
Yeah,
last time I played it was God of War Ragnarok. So,
yeah, and like I said, if for some reason you're deciding you want to go back through 2 right now, and you don't want to deal with PvP bullshit, you just go offline in Steam and it disconnects the online functionality. At least in the remastered edition of 1, if you don't want to deal with PvP, you can just click offline in the menu. And two, you don't have that option. You literally have to turn your Steam offline in order for it to work, which is crazy. The other thing I'll say, too, is like you get invaded by a lot of random spirits, which are like hard mini-bosses, basically, in two, like all over the place. And you can one of the good things and bad things is you can repeat bosses with something called a bonfire aesthetic. So you burn it at your bonfire, and then everything in the level gets twice as hard. And like I did it for the skeleton boss. So there's another skeleton boss. Where there's these three skeletons, and every time you kill one, they raise a bunch of undead, and then you got to kill all the undead. And initially, it's a pretty easy fight. It's a lot harder when you burn the aesthetic, but you get a quick casting ring and another skeleton soul for doing it. So like you get a +2 version of the ring they drop in the one instead of getting the one. Now I've got a +2 ring, which is faster casting for me, and then another skeletal skull. But I also got invaded 3 times by, not players, but by these random dudes with double sickles. And they respawn every single time you hit the bonfire versus the normal ones where you kill them and they're once and they're dead. But yeah, you got like NPC invaders in two, all over the place. And they're just elites that spawn in once, normally, sometimes not normally. But they invade and you got to beat their ass. And there's a couple of them that are pretty hard. Like, honestly, harder than the normal stuff. But other random thing. And then I'll quit. So, like, if you've played Resident Evil 3, you know that you got the nemesis that just follows you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a character, I don't remember how true it was to the original two, called the Pursuer. And Jason was talking to me as I died to the Pursuer over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until I kind of figured out my trick. Because I didn't, again, I was playing a little bit different build than Cowboy. Like, he's super good at parrying. I'm not as good at parrying in this game. And he just parries the dude and then just stabs him. I'm not as good at that, so I had to figure out the roll system on how to roll through his attacks and then get a shot off behind. But if you don't kill him fast enough, he shoots a bunch of curse orbs at you and disappears. But once you kill him in an area, he's done. But he respawns like 4 times in this one area and then like twice in another area. He's just a dude that just harasses you. The incentive to kill him is, A, you get a shitload of souls, and you get an upgrade item that you use for certain items called Twinkling Titanite, which is kind of rare. It's not farmable from him, but every time he dies, he drops it. So, like, it's incentivized for you to beat him. It's just, he's fucking hard. If you're bad at parrying like I am. So, for me, I'm just rolling through his attacks and then hitting him with one real big spell, and then wait for him to attack again and roll through his attacks, and then get far enough away to cast again. But it is a pain in the ass, because he spawns around other enemies a lot of times, so you're dealing with other enemies plus this guy that can fucking two-shot you, and then will curse the fuck out of you if you don't deal with them fast enough.
But sounds like a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
I have
two's trash is hard. Your review
of Dark Souls 2 has made me never want to play Dark Souls 2 ever again.
Dark Souls 2 has the most bullshit. It's not a Miyazaki game. I don't remember what the story is behind it, but Miyazaki didn't end up doing it. And so they had a different director direct this game. And then he did 3, and then everybody liked 3. But, a lot of us are Miyazaki fanboys. Like, I still like 2, even though it's not a Miyazaki-directed game. But just different things. Like, 2 also has you level up in the same area, so you have to go back to a bonfire where this lady is. Who's they don't call them flame keepers in this one because they do it's a different system. But anyways, basically you go talk to this lady every time you want to level up. And then from that central area, you've got like 4 or 5 different directions you can go. And each of those branches off into a whole different world. And you're basically trying to go all the way to the end of each one of those to beat that area and then come back. And then eventually you open up a new area after you beat the spoked worlds. And then every bonfire is warpable from the beginning, where Dark Souls 1, that doesn't happen until the last 3/4 of the game, or last quarter of the game. Initially, at Dark Souls 1, you're just unlocking shortcuts, so you can go all the way back, but you can level up at any bonfire, so you don't always need to go all the way back up, or down, or whatever direction you're at. Can we take a break?
Yeah, I think we should take a break.
This has been the longest first half ever. We'll be back.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Oh my god. Oh my god, we're here.
We got slightly distracted with things and stuff for a minute and started looking at mod lists for New Vegas and Fallout 4 and all the things because, you know, that could be a thing. Maybe Jason, as odd as it sounds, maybe the guy going through that is I'm on a quest to get through all the Souls games right now.
Oh, I've already modded Fallout 4. I'm not going to sit there and do New Vegas now.
Yeah, that's a pretty long game.
He's going to get through Fallout 4 first.
I got to get through Fallout 4, and hopefully by the time I'm through Fallout 4, Fallout London will be ready to go. And, you know, I can have some fun with that. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'll probably get 4 vanilla and just see what the update does. When does that come out? Again?
The 25th.
The 25th, so next Thursday from when we're recording.
Okay, so it will have just released before we record again.
Pretty much.
So yes. I will check that out. I won't need a reminder. I'll definitely check it out.
Are you sure?
I can
remind you.
I mean, you can if you want, but I'll probably remember.
Okay. I'm slap happy now.
Well, there's not a lot coming out. Like, we've been sitting here looking to see, like, what's going to be out in the next little bit. We've got Shin Megami Tensei Vengeance comes out. Well, let's go back. What do we got for May? Well, right now there is a deal on System Shock, the remake. So if you want to get that, it's like $17 on Steam. But it comes to console on May 21st. Homeworld 3, I've missed that. It comes out on May 13th, so I might be playing that. V Rising comes out of Early Access on May 8th. Prison Architect 2, which I was never a huge fan of 1, to be honest with you. Hellblade 2 comes out on May 21st, too. But, you know, it'll be like a weekend game for us. Like, I like the first one, but it's just damn it short.
It is really short.
Yeah, I beat it in like 5 hours, maybe.
Who knows? Maybe this next one is...
Oh, no, it's rumored to be short.
Yeah, it's going to be short.
I would say sub 10 hours. So, a weekend for any of us. Not even that. Yeah, played around something. June, though, has got a lot of stuff coming out. Like, so if you're a Destiny guy, listen to TVGP because they cover all things Destiny. The Final Shape comes out on June 4th. I think that's the last expansion. They're kind of their last hurrah to see if they can keep Destiny afloat, I suppose.
The rumor around that is Final Shape is going to be the last thing for Destiny 2. Oh, but the rumor is
they're going to work on 3.
That they're going to continue Destiny, like Destiny 3. Destiny 2's it's been around for a while.
It's pretty long in the tooth at this point, right?
It's still a fun game. It's just I had problems when they did the whole sunsetting bullshit.
Yeah, get rid of your favorite weapons.
And yeah, I mean, they made it so that you had to like change your guns and stuff like that. Well, I mean, you know, there's certain favorites that you kind of want to keep, and they made it so that you had to refarm everything. And it was kind of a yes.
But yeah, like that'll be out in June, and some of us, I don't know if any of us will be playing it. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I know.
I don't think so. I mean, I've been interested in the, you know, oddly, the weird Destiny story. Like, when you play it, you get little snippets, but it takes some, you know, watching like a YouTuber that can put it all together for you. And there's a couple good lore YouTuber videos for Destiny. The story behind Destiny is surprisingly deep. It's just they've never really had a good track record of like putting that story in the game where it's super accessible. If you remember Destiny 1, it was all in cards.
right.
So, I mean, you had to go online to figure that shit out. So if they did, if they do decide to, you know, to continue on, like if they, they do a whole Destiny 3 or some kind of spinoff off of it, it kind of needs to like exit the solar system. It really needs to like move. Like it really does. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, the final shape like has prismatic classes so that you can kind of like mix and match abilities from, you know, from the warlock and the hunter and the fucking titan, which on, you know, on paper looks like it could be fun, but it just seems like, oh yeah, now there's going to be a meta build, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of meh with Destiny. I've played it off and on for a long time. I'm good.
Well, Destiny at its core, really good shooter. Like it feels really good. The guns feel different. That's something that they did nail hard with Destiny, is like the guns feel all different. Like when you play something like Borderlands, where all the guns are kind of like cookie cutter, they have this kind of recoil, right? Everything in Destiny feels different. Like there's subtle differences between fire rates and damage outputs that makes certain guns just feel good, right? If they could make that happen and, you know, not fuck around with the core of the game, and just make the game fun, fun again and not grindy, like super grindy, then yeah, I'd have played it more, but yeah, alas, I'll get off my soapbox.
Yeah, they've got a Shin Megami Tensei coming out that month as well, which I'm marginally interested in, but it comes out on the 14th, and then Shadow of the Erdtree comes out on June 21st. So I don't think I can beat a Shin Megami Tensei game in 7 days. So it may be something that I pick up later on a sale, unless it's just crazy good. But it just depends on how long it takes me to beat that DLC, too. And then July, Frostpunk 2 comes out. There's a, by the time this episode posts, it'll be gone. But I think through the 24th to the 25th, you can play early access if you pre-order it as a part of a beta test phase for Frostpunk 2.
Yeah.
Frostpunk 1 was hard enough. I don't know that I want to play it and then forget all about it for a few months and come back to it. Black Myth Wukong comes out in August, supposedly on the 20th. Star Wars Outlaws supposedly comes out August 30th. And I keep saying supposedly because these are far enough out that it could change. Stalker 2 comes out September 5th. And Space Marine comes out September 9th. And then everything else is TBA. We shall see. But there'll be a lot of surprise releases that come out between now and then. We just don't know what they are. And for the time being, Jason's probably going to play Fallout, and I'm probably going to play Dark Souls and Rusty, and I'll play some Helldivers too. And
yeah, I'm going to try to, you know, like, now that I've gotten all the goals, all the stuff that I want to get done with Helldivers for this, you know, on this help, on this Warbond. You know, got that all done. I'm looking for other games to play. And I really want to play like a Monster Hunter or something like that. So, we'll see. I've been kind of eyeing playing Monster Hunter World again or fucking, finding something similar.
Yeah, that's why I just picked up something and started playing.
Yeah.
And I realized that I did have a lot of fun with Dark Souls. I played the shit out of it and had a lot of fun with it. So getting past 2 took a while to get to where I felt comfortable playing the game. It's just so much, it's such a rougher start than 1. And again, when you kill things 12 times and they disappear, so it's kind of hard to grind in that game too. It does not want you to go overkill.
Right.
News-wise, though, man, there's just not been a lot out. I don't. Jason, did you catch something I didn't?
Not that I see, no. I've not seen a whole lot of news this week. Most everything revolves around the upcoming releases. We're kind of in that weird dead period between different shows.
There is something we forgot. Stellar Blade comes out this month.
Yep, Stellar Blade is.
And there's a big push. I guess they're trying to figure out if it's 18 plus or not, because she's in a bodysuit in some scenes, I guess.
And it's very skin tight. There's a lot of butt in it about that.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it looks like a cool game. I'm just not about... Kind of like a... You know, I guess they figured out that on their official Twitter account, they confirmed that several government bodies will not censor the game when it comes out on April 26th. So everybody should have an uncensored version of that game. Which is funny because you had a dick slider in Cyberpunk, so like, come the fuck on.
Right? Oh, man.
Oh, Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk also had the option just to, like, you know, wear underwear, but yeah, you did have a dick slider.
So that might be something new to play.
Stellar Blade. We'll see.
That was loud.
Ooh. Lola the Wonder Pup is saying something.
Yeah, she is.
She's saying, wrap it up, buddy. It's time.
I have the window open a crack in my bedroom, because it's one of the few front-facing windows, and I think she's standing up in my bed barking at things outside. She is loud.
Oh, trying to miss Lola the Wonder Pup.
Trying to silence her a little bit. But I can't go out there and figure out what's going on. I already kind of talked about the fact that we're seeing a lot of player jumps on Fallout games, which you just confirmed. Did we confirm that on the show, Jason, or was that on the break?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of people... playing Fallout right now.
I mean, in case I didn't, I mean, there's over 140,000 users, which is, I'm sure that's all bumped from the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, going back and playing, playing comfort game, right?
Yeah.
Seeing those games. I know there's a lot of people that, that are just basically going back to play that fucking game just because the show came out. I can't imagine it being new people. But then again, I mean, games are old.
It could be the one thing that is too early to tell. Sales, because those wouldn't have been reported yet. And that could be, I mean, they could be seeing a healthy jump from that. I know they already said there was a healthy jump in Fallout 76. Mm-hmm. They've not released a exact number. So, it could be, could still be too early, because those are usually like end of month reporting stats.
Right.
So we could know in a couple weeks if it did see a significant jump, but I would imagine it's most likely players who already have it for the most part.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a decent amount of extra sales. I think it was like $5 on Steam for a while.
Oh, yeah, it was on the FPS sale. And, of course, Game Pass already has it, too. So there's a lot of opportunities to pick up and play that game. So, even if it's not, that's still a lot of people picking it up. And, you know, I think the like the remaster that comes out here in a couple days, or the up, you know, the next gen upgrade or whatever the fuck they're calling it, is going to get a lot of traction because of it.
Yeah, because they don't have to mod it. Like, modding's not really that hard, but for a lot of people that haven't been PC gaming as long as us, that are really familiar with doing that kind of stuff, it can be kind of daunting if you're just somebody who puts a game in a CD tray or just downloads a game and plays it, you know. So yeah, I'm sure that'll get a big uptick. Like, if it's significant changes or pretty significant visual upgrades, like, I'll probably play it. But if it's a slight pass, then I'm just kind of like, all right, well, that's cool.
I'm gonna say right now that I think modders do a better job.
I bet so. Like, there was some hinkiness with some of the mods that I was using, like some guns wouldn't reload properly, etc. But
yeah,
I had that Wabbajack install. Like, if you're doing the same one, Jason, you know that looks pretty fucking good.
It does. It does. I mean, there's still, you know, certain ground textures, etc.
It's 140 gigs.
Excellent right away, but
yeah, it's 140 gigs, but it does look pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know that we got a whole bunch else. You guys got anything?
No, my brain turned off about a half an hour ago, so I'm on autopilot right now.
All right. Well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/realtiltcast. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Mind friends of the show, you got For the Love of Gaming. You've got bmfcast.com and tbgp.tv. They know more about Destiny than we do. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right.
All right. Peace.